Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy is on the line. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, good morning, John.
Let's start with what's happening in Ukraine. It appears as though one's tempted to say the tide has turned in Ukraine with Russia, but maybe that's overstating it. What's your read on what's happening over there?
Well, I think that the Ukrainians are fighting brilliantly and fiercely, and they've rolled back some of the gains that the Russians made in the northeast of the country. It's a promising first step of hopefully many more to recoup the territory that was lost to the Russians. And I think it shows that, you know, the Russians are up against perhaps a much more formidable opponent in the Ukrainians than they ever could have anticipated.
And they're up against U.S. weapons, too. One of the reasons that they say Ukraine is making these advances, reclaiming that territory, is because of the infusion of U.S. weapons.
That's exactly right. The weapons that the Biden administration is providing that we authorize in Congress are game changers on the battlefield. You can just talk about the HIMARS systems. These are the high mobility artillery rocket systems that the Ukrainians are using to basically destroy ammunition depots, logistics hubs, radar stations, far beyond the front lines, you know, deep into Russian-held territory. And it's wreaking havoc on the Russians' ability to defend and to fight back. And then when the Ukrainians go on the counteroffensive with their troops, it's stunning to see the Russians retreat so quickly. But I think it's because they got softened up by those weapons that we provided and we're continuing to provide. So I really think our cooperation with them is making a big difference.
At one point, I wondered if our continued support of Ukraine and our increase in either airplanes or these missile systems would escalate things, that Russia would get more aggressive, either attacking other NATO allies or somehow draw us further in. It seems like we've been able to keep a safe distance, albeit maybe an expensive one, but this strategy does seem to be working right now, doesn't it?
I think the Biden administration's strategy in conjunction with the Ukrainians is working well, because at the end of the day, it's about self-defense. It's about protecting and recouping territory that the Ukrainians rightfully had before all of the conflicts, before the war started. And I think that so long as they are in that mode, I think that they are on firm ground to continue the fighting, you know, as fiercely as they did before.
The Dow fell over 1,000 points, and I know that you have an interest as much in that as in the sort of stock trading of individual members of Congress. There's a bill you've been working on along those lines. Is that right?
That's right. I authored the bill that basically bans the trading of individual stocks by members of Congress, because unfortunately what we know is that members of Congress have access to information that no one else in the public has, whether it's through classified briefings, hearings, whether it's knowledge of impending investigations or the introduction of legislation that might affect one industry more than another. We have knowledge that if it's used to basically make trades, would be called insider trading in any other industry. And so we have to ban this type of even possibility of insider trading in our line of business, being in Congress, to restore a little bit of trust back in Congress.
So how do you do that?
Well, what I've said is our bill to basically ban the trading of individual stocks is the best way to go, John. There should be a bright line in terms of members of Congress not being able to possess or trade widely available stocks. They can have investments in mutual funds, widely diversified funds, U.S. Treasury bills, and the like, and they can potentially have a truly blind trust with other types of securities, but they should not have easy access to individually traded, publicly traded stocks that they can then pull up on their Ameritrade after a classified briefing and start buying or selling you know, different industries that were affected by, you know, in well, business that we're doing in Congress.
I get that, but it is kind of curious that members of Congress themselves can't be trusted to buy and sell, or can't be empowered to buy and sell Google and Ford and General Motors stocks. Is there a history of abuse in this? What motivated you?
Correct. There has been a history of abuse. And what I found out through our research in doing this bill is that for more than 100 years, maybe 150 years, it was thought to be a perk of Congress to be able to trade stocks while being in Congress, because you obviously have an edge on people in the public. You know, we have hundreds of members trading stocks or their spouses or others, even as they have power over some of the industries that they're trading stocks in. One of the best examples of that, John, is that a senator recently, and I won't say his name, I don't want to go there, but he basically started dumping all of his hotel and airline stocks right after he got a briefing on the pandemic, merely just a day or two after he got a briefing on the pandemic, saving himself tens of thousands of dollars in potential losses once that information became public about the pandemic emergency. And that's just wrong. I think he also ended up buying a lot of pharmaceutical stocks, healthcare stocks, and other industry stocks that would benefit from our investments in protecting our health during the pandemic. And, you know, that type of stuff corrodes trust, John. In fact, when I tell my constituents about this, they are shocked that we can even do this in the first place. And so their response is, yeah, you shouldn't be able to trade stocks at all.
Would that extend to family members as well, Congressman?
Definitely to spouses and adult dependent children.
And where is this bill now? What are its chances?
I'll be honest, I'm swimming upstream on this. This is not popular among my colleagues on either side of the aisle. There are a band of us, band of brothers and sisters, so to speak, both Republicans and Democrats, by the way. You know, me and Brian Fitzpatrick, a Republican from Pennsylvania, just led a letter to the leadership saying we have to pass this bill this month before we leave. You know, we're going to keep pushing regardless of what the leadership on either side says.
Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. Okay, Congressman, that'll be it for today.
Hey, thank you.
Good luck to you on that, and we'll continue to follow it. Keep us posted.
Yes, sir.
All right, bye now.
Bye.